This is the Think Courageously podcast. I'm your host, Deb Cummins-Delato, and I'm here to challenge successful women like you to find the courage to make pivots so that you can ignite your life and expand your limited thinking about change. I'm a certified life and leadership coach, and I'm excited to share my stories and insights into igniting energy from within. When I was a kid, I had a poster on my wall with a quote from Helen Keller, "Life is either a daring adventure or nothing at all." Are you ready for a daring adventure? Are you looking for the best version of yourself? If so, you're in the right place. Let's embrace the adventure of sparking potential together. Welcome to the Think Courageously podcast. My name is Deb Cummins-Delato, and I'm so happy to be with you today. I'm super excited about our topic today, and it's a focus on pivots, and specifically career pivots. I like to call myself the princess of pivots. Actually, that's what other people might call me, because I have done a lot of pivoting in my career, and I've had some great opportunities to do some exceptionally cool things in my career, and this is actually something that I've wanted to do and share with you this journey, because people seem to be really interested in how I've been able to make this happen. A couple of caveats before I start today's show. First of all, something quite interesting is happening in my house. We are building a man cave, which means it's exceptionally loud in here. Hammering, banging, and even possibly dogs barking. So please be patient and tolerant. I know you might think that I'm recording from a very fancy studio, maybe on Fifth Avenue in New York City, or, you know, in Philadelphia, but I'm actually in my she shed in my own office. And it's a little noisy here today, and I kept waiting, and then finally I thought to myself, get going, Deb, just do it. So here we are. The second thing I wanted to say before I really get into the podcast is that I want to acknowledge that I'm a woman of privilege. I'm a white woman, and so the things that I'm going to talk about in terms of pivots are part of that identity, and part of that identity for me has always been having a safety net. So when things have gone really badly for me, I've been fortunate enough to have a very strong family support network. And I just think that's important, because I don't want it to be perceived that everybody can make a pivot all the time. And I certainly haven't been able to do that. And I've made a lot of mistakes, but I just wanted to acknowledge that. So I will say, however, that every pivot that I've made in my career has had two things associated with it. One is that the opportunity presented me with an opportunity to make more money, which I think is really important and also a key factor in making a change. And in the research I learned, this is really important for women, because financial security seems to be even a higher driver for women than men in our decisions around our jobs. And the second thing on this topic is that I have always been very open and very courageous about opportunities that have really been true pivots, that have given me opportunities for growth and or promotion. So I haven't really done a lot of tweaks. As a matter of fact, as I think about it, I haven't really had any lateral moves within a company or even company to another company. Most of my moves have been pretty serious lean-in pivots. So I wanted to share some facts with you about women, work, and our careers. A couple really interesting pieces of data before we get into my story. The first one is women who are 55 and over are actually the fastest growing segment of the U.S. workforce. I know, say what? Yes, we are the fastest growing segment of the U.S. workforce. The second is that women, in general, their number one reason for making a pivot is that they're seeking professional growth, and that we are seeing a misalignment of our core values with the jobs that we're in. I think that's really, really important. Some more research on the topic. I found a great article by Fast Company. And I thought this one was really interesting because I know my audience and all of you listeners are not 55 and over. And I know, for example, my daughter and hopefully her friends are listening to this podcast. And I thought that this was something that I was seeing, but I hadn't seen any research on it. I'm not sure about you, but what Fast Company is saying, that job hopping after college has nearly doubled. So 5 years after college, the number of women who are hopping jobs has nearly doubled over the years. And in a Stanford study, only 25% of women that have been in jobs are in jobs that last longer than 20 years, while half, 50% of men were in these kind of jobs. I think that's really interesting because, at least for my generation, we used to talk about IBM and companies where you could bet you could spend your whole career at some place. And even in the community that I live in, we have a Fortune 500 company, Air Products, and many people that I know have been working at Air Products their entire careers. Now, I will say, again, more of those have been men than they've been women. So I think those are really interesting statistics. Basically, that says to me that both women above the age of 55 and younger women are more likely to look for other jobs and to make pivots. And the other piece of information through some research that I found was around the fears that women have around making a change and making a pivot. And this comes from an article by the Network of Executive Women. So there are three fears. One is a real fear for women of losing money and financial stability. And I would say that this is something that I hear quite often with the women that are in my life, that if they're working, oftentimes they've been the person in the family that's helped to accelerate the retirement fund or to help support the college tuition. And so the idea of making a pivot is really scary because the real reality of losing dollars. Second area is, as a coach, something that I also see, which is one of the fears is around not being enough. And for the women that I think are in their 40s and above, there's a lot of, I'm too old. I don't know if I could make this shift. I also have a lot of listeners who have not completed their college degrees. And this is a whole other niche of women that I really like to work with. They're incredibly successful women. They've done amazing things. They've defined success their own way, and they haven't finished their college education. And I've seen this in play many times when women are really nervous to think about a pivot because even though they have incredible experience, they're super smart, they just might not feel like they're enough to make that career change. And finally, again, as a coach, I see this, is that sometimes we as women suffer very greatly from this analysis by paralysis, and we really can live in fear about actually making a decision. There's this readiness thing with women. There's a readiness. I'm just not sure if I'm ready. Let me do more research. Let me do more research. And so we continue to suffer from analysis by paralysis. We also then put on this fear of not being enough, and it can really be paralyzing in terms of making smart and courageous pivots in our jobs. So I wanted to put that out there in terms of the research. I'm not sure how that resonates with you, but certainly with the women that I'm working with in my practice, I'm seeing all of those things happen. And it ends up that many of these women are overwhelmed with a feeling of being stuck where they are. So today, I really just thought I would provide you with a little bit of insight and maybe a little bit of inspiration on some of the pivots I've made and the why behind them. And I'll try to add some humor to them, as I hopefully always do. So my first job, and don't worry, please don't worry, I'm not going to give you the resume version of this. I'm going to give you the abbreviated Reader's Digest, keep it high level version of this particular journey, because it's been a long road. So my first job actually was when I got out of college and I got my master's degree from Villanova. I got my degree in organizational development, and I love organizational development and it's proven to be an amazing career for me, but you can't just like walk out of a grad program and get a job in this space. So my actual first job was at my alma mater, Go Muhlenberg College, Go Mules, Go Mules. And I jumped in, and this is kind of a recurring theme in this story, to an interim position in the area of student affairs for Muhlenberg. And the nugget in this story is that never burn bridges and always stay connected. So when I was in college, I know this is going to be hard for you to believe, but I was a super involved student. I was an orientation leader. I was involved in student government. I was a tour guide. And so I had some really great relationships that I worked on after I left Muhlenberg. And those positions or those people ended up being really influential in my path to my first real career path, which again was in student affairs. So I really remember it so vividly. The dean of students at Muhlenberg College, a very old dear friend, Jim Bryan, and I'll make sure I send him the link on this, asked me to have lunch with him one day. And I had just moved back to the area from finishing school in Philadelphia. And he said, we have a position, it's an interim position, and it's the assistant director of residence life. And we can't guarantee you anything, but is it something that you're interested in? And I said yes. And this is sort of a common theme throughout my career. I could have been very scared at 24, newly married, husband was a resident at that time, just thinking about taking a job that I wasn't sure what the next step was going to be. But I took the job, I loved the job, and even though I literally was not really that qualified for the job, I earned the job in another capacity at Muhlenberg. So at a certain juncture, the job became open, and another friend who stayed a friend for the last 30 years was moved into that position, and I became the first director of student activities at Muhlenberg College. Again, a little nugget, the first ever. So I love, and I think I've mentioned this before, I love jobs where I'm basically setting the course for the future. I'm really motivated by getting highly engaged with things and trying things that are new. And I'm really quite innovative. I'm a right brain thinker. And so when I have an opportunity to try something and to make my mark on it, I definitely love that. But I will say again that the nugget in this job is that staying connected to people and practicing building relationships at any age, I don't even want to say practicing, I should say in my life, I don't know about yours, I'd love to hear what you have to say about this, but the core of everything that's happened for me is that relationships rule. So throughout your career, it's just so important to stay connected and to keep relationships front of mind in whatever you're doing. The second pivot that I made that I wanted to talk about is a job that was completely out of the blue with the craziest set of circumstances. So when I was working at Muhlenberg, it wasn't at Muhlenberg. It was when I was at Lafayette College. I was working in student affairs and I was doing some work in consulting with a friend of mine, a colleague of mine. And he had built some pretty formidable relationships outside of the collegiate environment. And one day he called me and said, hey, listen, a friend of mine is interested in building a brand new department at his company. The company is in Cincinnati, and they specialize in diversity and inclusion. Okay, so here I am thinking to myself, what the hell do I know about this space? But I was really intrigued. And this company had actually had a great, great history in working with Fortune 100 companies in the diversity space. And they were trying to build out their leadership department. So my friend and I went to this job. And it was really an incredible experience. It pushed me in every single possible way. First of all, I saw it as an opportunity to work in a brand new sector. And I love that because I had been working in higher ed and I felt that if I ever wanted to leave higher ed, it would be important to have some experience both as a consultant and working with corporations. So again, a little nugget in this is I really highly recommend that if you're trying to build a robust resume, think about how you can explore, take a dip in the pond and other things that you might be interested in. The other thing about this was that this position gave me an opportunity to work remotely. And that was, I have to say, 14 years ago. And working remotely was not something that everybody did at that time. So the company office was in Cincinnati. I was living in Emmaus, Pennsylvania at this time. I was divorced and I'd moved back home to my mom's house where we had bought a house together and my daughter Allie was living there with us. And I had been working in higher ed and I had found that I was really struggling to be the kind of mom that I wanted to be. I was just feeling really overwhelmed and I was feeling like I needed to be much more present. So this job offered me an incredible opportunity to work differently, to be home for my daughter more. And so I took it and I stayed with Global Lead for 3 years. What I think is kind of interesting about this story for me is that the actual position that we went to do or the division we went to build actually never launched. Failure to launch. And lots of reasons for this, but I would say that the courage part comes around the fact that the original plan didn't work and success in terms of the company wasn't happening with us. And part of that was because Dennis and I were two white people going into a fully owned African-American firm, and I don't think the culture was ready for us to come in and be part of the conversation around leadership at that moment. So we talked internally, and I made a different pivot, and that pivot was to move from building this leadership capacity to jumping into the new business development function. And that ended up being a really spectacular experience for me. I learned how to really prepare and sell things, which has come into play today, I guess, just a little. And I actually loved it. And I also had really great opportunities to build my coaching skills during that time. So that's pivot two that I'm featuring. And I'm going to jump into pivot three, which is my journey with Habitat for Humanity. And I'm smiling. I'm hoping you can see or feel me smiling. So I was actually working at a job that was not a good shift for me after I had stopped working at Global Lead. And it wasn't a good fit, mostly because the values of that organization were not in alignment with what I wanted to do and how I wanted to serve the community. And I really was feeling this hankering for being in the nonprofit sector. And so one of my former colleagues said, you know, I heard there's this job open at Habitat for Humanity in corporate development. Maybe you want to look into that. Again, I had not worked in nonprofits at this time. I had been in higher education, educational administration, corporate consulting, but I hadn't worked in nonprofits. And I said, sure, it was about raising money. And I had finished working at Lafayette as a fundraiser. So I decided to leave that part out of the story because, again, I don't want you all to be bored and I don't want this to be a 3-hour podcast. So I had gotten some really great practice around raising money. So I figured, sure. And this was a great opportunity. It was a vice president role. It was more money than I was making at the job that I was in. And I was curious. And I think part of the reason that I have been so open to pivots is that I am really a curious person. I'm not sure I really understood that until I entered into the coaching space. I don't know if I would have described myself as curious, but I really am. So I took that job on, and I'm not going to go into all the details of how that happened or what happened, but Needless to say, I was there for 6.5 years in this new sector, and some really amazing things happened. And during that time, there was also a lot of why nots. So I was in the same position, but we did some pretty courageous things during my time at Habitat, and they had to do with building the Restore and starting a neighborhood revitalization initiative. Pretty cool stuff. So why did I pivot and why did I start the Think Good Company? Well, I think this is pretty important. I was really going back to the time that I made this decision, which was, I guess, 3 years ago, 2.5, 3 years ago when I left Habitat, maybe a little bit longer. And I decided that I really had made my mark at Habitat through some of the initiatives that we had launched. And at 52 or 53, I wasn't sure how many chances I had left to really get my act together and go back into consulting around leadership, which has always been my dream. So I was tired. I was super exhausted. I remember feeling every day like, I have to get dressed, I have to put on my makeup, I have to go out, and I have to be Habitat. And that meant when I went to Wegmans or wherever I was, people would stop me and say, oh, aren't you the Habitat lady? And I'd be, of course, yes, I'm the Habitat lady. And I think that that really started to wear on me, that my identity was fully wrapped up in this particular job. So I decided to make a pivot, and I didn't make a full pivot at this point. I actually jumped into something and started to work with a colleague, and that ended up not being the best pivot for me. And so I had to recalibrate, and I had to recalibrate really, really quickly, which I did. So within 6 months, I really realized that my passion was certainly in leadership, but my highest passion, my calling, was in the nonprofit space. And I wanted to have a business that was accessible to nonprofits and their leaders. And so I decided to start the Think Good Company. And I just want to say that, again, there's so many other pivots that I've made along the way, but this is the one that I think had the most judgment around it. It shocked the heck out of my board at Habitat. I don't think they ever expected me to make this change. It shocked my colleagues at Habitat, who really didn't know that I was just really growing tired and I was feeling the need to make this shift. And I would also have to say that it was also a tremendous shock to my family, mostly my mom. So I wonder if you can relate to this, either as a parent or a child, where someone is so proud of you and what you've accomplished that they cannot literally think of you doing anything else. And so I know my mom thought my decision to leave Habitat was not a good decision. As a matter of fact, I literally think she thought it was a ridiculously stupid decision. But I had the vision of this company, the Think Good Company, and obviously later Think Courageously. And my belief was stronger than the obstacles that were in my way to make this happen. So again, when I think about courage and I think about finding the courage to make a pivot, it's really around knowing that there are going to be obstacles, but the belief is higher and bigger than the obstacle, and the future is something that you can really clearly envision. And I really felt that was a big deal in what I was doing. So with those stories, with those three stories, again, what are the takeaways? And as my dear coach April would say, what are the nuggets you found in those stories? So I think there are a few things that connect these stories. One is, again, the power of relationships. My mom used to always say, don't ever burn a bridge, Debbie. And there were times where I might have wanted to burn a bridge, but I never did. And I would give that wisdom to anybody starting their career or for a woman at any point in their career. I think that's extremely important. I think the second nugget in this is that you really need to look at changes in your career, not as lateral moves, but again, how can an opportunity serve you? And even if you feel like you're not fully ready to make a pivot, trying something in a different sector can be extremely satisfying and can eventually help you build your resume so that you can do different things. I would say another nugget is knowing yourself well enough to know when time is time, to trust your gut, to know when to fail fast and to make a move when that happens, and to also be willing to look at the long-term learning from something. I'm a huge lifelong learner, like many of you are. And so I think that each of these experiences has led me to exactly where I am. And I know I've shared some of this before with you, but so interesting to me in the coaching process that we talk about this concept. One of the foundation principles is you are exactly where you're meant to be. You're exactly where you're meant to be. And I literally feel I am exactly where I am supposed to be. So I've been wanting to share this story and to talk about these nuggets for a while. And so I'm glad that I've been able to share this with you. I hope it's helpful, and certainly feel free to reach out to me if you have questions that are more specific to how I did this and how I positioned myself. Oh, one little thing before I switch gears. There's a really interesting survey out there, and I can't get my hands on it right now, and I was just thinking about it as I was winding this up, but there's some interesting research about how women look at jobs and apply for jobs versus men. So women, when we look at changing jobs, we think that unless we check off every box of the job description, we shouldn't apply. Ladies, men do this all the time. They bring their confidence with them, and they believe that the gifts they have are strong enough, they're confident enough to be able to apply and to make that shift quite easily. So I just wanted to share that because I think it's important. You don't have to have to be able to check off every box. You come and you need to be aware of all the amazing gifts you come to the table with and be able to share those with the opportunities that are in front of you. So that's a little bit about my pivot and why I consider myself to be the princess of pivots. And we'll have other guests on the podcast in the next few months that also will share their stories, and we'll connect these themes together. Before I close, I did want to let everybody know that registration for the first 2020 Think Courageously retreat, oh my gosh, is open and filling up. It's filling up. I'm so excited. It's March 29th, and this episode will actually be launched on March 6th, so you'll have plenty of time to register. The event is going to be held at the Glassbird Inn in Fogelsville, Pennsylvania. It's this really beautiful place, so it doesn't really matter where you live. I would encourage you to come to the Glassbird because it's just beautiful, and I think we'll see little signs of spring there at our retreat. And the theme of the retreat will be around making a dip. And making a dip, super fun acronym I came up with, is around defining, imagining, and pivoting. And so that's what we'll be doing throughout our Sunday activities. I'm really excited about it. And you can learn more by going to the website at www.thinkcourageously.com. So I'd love to get you guys fired up about these topics. I'd love to get you ignited, and I'd love you to ignite others. And I'd love us for us to think courageously and differently about how we change and how we make pivots in our careers. And so a couple things you can do to help spread the word about the podcast is, first of all, if you could leave a rating and a review on wherever you listen to your podcast, that would be phenomenal. And that's really great for me because it improves my visibility on these platforms and will allow other people to find me. So if you could do that, that would be great. The second thing is, and I just mentioned the website, you can actually go to the website and you can listen to the podcast from the website. And I have added show notes. I started doing that last week with my dear friend Katie Brown's podcast. So you can go on and go to the resource page of thinkcourageously.com and find the show notes. And finally, a place where I'm really hoping you can get engaged is the Think Courageously Facebook community. This is a place where I am really facilitating the conversation for women who are seeking the courage to make a pivot. And so I hope you'll check it out. I hope you'll look for the Think Courageously Facebook page and that you'll request to join the Think Courageously Facebook family through our community page. And that's it for today. So again, this is the Princess of Pivots getting ready to sign off. And I hope you have an amazing day. And that you enjoy the week ahead as we literally spring forward. Take care and remember to always think courageously.